From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Chad Beter.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
I'm Wade Mesha.
And we're back here for week two with Wade and his tool. Well, his, I say his because he's the one here, Debug Diag. But you have a whole team working on this.
I do. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes. Let me show you my blog.
Right on.
No blog.
No, the team. I do have my blog, which points to the team blog. Let's do this. This should have been in the first episode, so my apologies to the team here. First thing I want to show you, there is a team blog for the Debug Diag team, and it's at the standard place for MSDN blogs, blogs at MSDN.com.
And it's right below us on the hyperlink.
Oh, yeah?
On the webpage, so.
Okay. And if you had to guess at the name of our blog, it would be Debug Diag. So yep. That's our blog. All right.
Awesome. Cool.
And so in here, you know, we have our release announcements and some other information that, and we also respond to, you know, customer requests in here. So come in here and check it out.
And team members, what type of team members?
I wanted to show you. If you click right here on the Debug Diag team, this is something we put out with the 2.0 release. This is a listing of all the people, and I won't even say all. This is probably a subset of all the people. There's a couple dozen names here who have contributed. And I just want to take a moment to recognize these people. And especially, there's a group here, this script conversion. A big effort that we did a little over a year ago was to convert a lot of our analysis, the brains of this thing that produces those reports, from VBScript to C# code. And it's put us in a position where we now can more easily extend it and support it. And it was a really big deal.
That's a big change.
Yeah. There was a few tens of thousands of lines of VB script code, and these guys, they got together in a conference room with pizza and manually, no automated tools, no unit testing, very little help from me. I gave them a few interfaces, and they just knocked it out, and they converted the whole thing from VB script to C#. And now we're in a place where we use this internally to process a few hundred thousand dumps that come in through our support center. And we conservatively estimate that it saves us a few million dollars. These guys are a big part of the of that contribution. So thank you to Puneet Gupta, and your whole team. You guys have really helped.
Right on. All right. Right on.
So Hanks, what's
Hanks. Yeah? So we did crashes last time.
We did crashes.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite, isn't it? So
suppose so. Sometimes
it's
there's
like
some
sort of
interplay.
Shovel is opposite of a rake. So like, yeah,
I never did well at those.
I don't know. Yeah, they're related but different. Yeah. Let's leave it at that.
So yeah, we'll take a look at an application that isn't going so fast. Okay, maybe not. Doesn't have to necessarily be.
So Outlook.
This is more of a performance problem. Go ahead.
I said the Outlook. But yeah.
No. Oh, man. You're going to get nasty emails from Outlook.
No, I'm not, because I never get delivered.
It's Andrew Richards.
Man. The comedy stylings of Andrew Richards.
Well, since we're on comedy, let me just also clear something up that I noticed as an observer, and I couldn't really put my finger on it until I got in the room. I thought maybe the camera did something funny. But, you know, they say it puts on pounds or something. But what I realize now, Chad and I, we're both about 6'2", 6'3". Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, really. I'm not wearing my heels today. I was.
It's just that Andrew's like 8 foot tall.
Yeah, right.
So it took me getting here to really realize that. So I just want to clear that up for everybody.
Oh,
you
should see when Rasinovich is here. He just towers over us all.
The problem with Mark is he makes the studio lights not work.
Yeah, they can't reach up there. All right.
So do you want to see the slow app?
Let's see the slow app.
All right. So here I have an application that is doing something very important, clearly. It tells you it's important, therefore we know it's important.
It's on the internet, so it must be true.
And there's really not much visibility into what's happening. Eventually, I mean, I can see I've got some threads, and eventually, hopefully, they'll complete. But I don't really know what's going on, right? Now, if I were one of those debugger guys, I could attach a debugger and figure it out, right?
Yep.
But let's say for everybody else out there, how can you get that?
Normal people.
How can you get that same level of information, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the scenario, and we'll walk through what you might want to do. All right. We're going back to the collection.exe. Okay. This is the one that collects the data.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'm not going to use a rule here. We could. We have performance rules, and I think maybe we'll get to that, right? Triggers on performance counters and response times and all that. But let's just do a manual dump, okay? All right, so there's another tab here called processes. And this shows you all the processes. And you know, you could do this in Task Manager too, right? You could right-click and get a dump file.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's all you need. That's all you need. And of course, by the way, that dump or proc dump dump
or any other dump.
Yeah. That's right. All these tools can play together, right? So we can analyze those too. All right. There's a few additional things that you can get here. You know, other than just creating a dump, monitoring for leaks, and some other things. But all right. So what I'm going to do. It's going to require some skillful timing on my part because I didn't put a prompt in the beginning of this application. So let's see if we can do this quickly enough, all right? All right, so it's going now. Refresh. I need my slow application.
There it is down there, below.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm gonna create a full user dump, okay?
So do you need any particular type of dump for this type of analysis? Does it need to be mini or full or anything?
Well, we know this is a .NET application, all right? So if you want to analyze the dump on the same machine, a mini dump is all you need because the debugger will go and find the modules that it needs on the local disk.
Yep.
All right? If you're going to take this dump, send it somewhere else for analysis, you need the full dump or you need a way to collect the modules or something like that, right? So I happen to get a full dump, but
I think in general, full dumps for CLR apps is just easier. It gets rid of a lot of problems.
Yeah, well, it all depends on what you need. But you know, that's the common mindset. But you know, with the reports, if you can get in the habit of get the dump, get the reports, send the report. Now we're not shipping gigs all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And when we get to the performance, if we're going to take 10 dumps. Now 10 full dumps is a little bit bigger deal, right?
Harsher, yeah.
So we'll look at getting mini dumps in that kind of scenario. All right, so I have a dump. It tells me where it went. Again, it's going to be in the same tree here. It goes into this miscellaneous folder. So here's my dump file. All right. So back over to the analysis XE once again. Okay, and again we'll do the crash hang analysis, and find the dump file. Okay, so this is the one. Again, start the analysis, chugs through, gives us a report, and you can see, you know, it's looking for a lot more stuff that time than in the crash scenario. So there will be more in report now. You know, when you open a dump, WinDBG, it tells you there's an exception of inches, right?
Yeah.
Bang analyze, you get the stack. That's kind of what we were dealing with the crash.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there's no exception. Debugger is just kind of giving you a report.
The exception's at the breakpoint, which is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. And
I think it's where a lot of people get stuck. Is like crash analysis is quite simple.
Sure.
Bang analyze gives you the answer. It's designed for it. It's good at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hang, on the other hand, is just this open.
Tough.
It could be anything. You know?
Yeah.
Why are you there? I mean, and particularly with a manually triggered dump rather than something that's forcibly at a certain point in time. It's like, you know, when exceptions throwing or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's much more holistic view of the thing. And you, as I said, you've got to run a lot of rules to work out which one is important.
And when I mentioned there's tens of thousands of lines of logic in here, that's the brain of the analysis is checking for all kinds of things. And it's all context sensitive. If it's a WCF service, you get a list of endpoints. If it's IIS, you get HTTP, you know, all that kind of logic baked in. All right. So in this case, let's see what we find. All right, I see a warning, and I see an information. Mm-hmm. All right, so this warning is telling me if I read this, it's giving me a listing of all these different threads that are all doing the same thing. All right, and it tells me they are waiting on a data to be returned from a database server. Okay, well, that's good information.
So that's a rule has realized that
that's
by
right.
seeing certain. Frame names or
exactly.
objects or whatever, that this is a database query.
That's right.
And that's the decision engine at play.
That's right. That's right. So now I know it's waiting on the database. But wait, there's more. So let's pick one of these threads. And let's see what's going on here. So now I see the stack, and as you say, this was the hint to the debugger what's going on. And I see there's some additional information also here. It's telling me the command that's being executed, right? So here here's my SQL statement, which I think I probably could have optimized that a little bit better, right? Maybe wait for 19 seconds instead, instead of 20. Okay. And also, you know, the database connection string, in this case, it's shown. And there's a whole host of information like this that you might get. You know, it's, maybe it's making a COM call or an LPC call to this service, or you know, there's about a couple hundred things that that we check for and report on. So that's the general workflow. This is a quick example of you know, one scenario where you get some real deep information with very little effort.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think this is going a little bit further than Perfview does, where Perfview is very good at giving you stacks and weight analysis, much like WPA does, but Perfview is very good in the CLI world.
Well, it lets you really drill into things. It's right. At a very detailed level.
But it's missing the data element of it. It doesn't really give you the instance data that you would normally then have to go back to a dumping tool.
That's right.
Had to debug to that line of code, run the right command, DSO this.
That's right. And you know what? In the last module that we'll do, I'll show you how to write your own debugger extension. In our world, we call them rules, right?
Yep.
So you write a rule, maybe 10 lines of code, that'll dig that stuff out and put it in your report for you.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. Right on. Did you want to talk a little bit about the sort of the architecture of this? I noticed you had different, you had the collection, the analysis,
right.
There's a service.
I think that's a good idea. Let's just, maybe we'll look at the crash scenario and kind of walk through who's doing what and, you know, what are the pieces. Okay. Let me highlight a couple things in the report first.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, we jump down straight to the answer.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the general case, you might just need, it might not be so simple. So here's an example of some of the stuff you might find, right? So the bang threads type output, you know, there's such a table. Previous exceptions, like the dump all exceptions, right? You get that type of output. ADO connection reports. This one's saying I have a pool of 100. You know, it would show me if I were using a bunch of different connection strings and growing a bunch of pools, I would see that. This is the section where you'd see like all the IIS requests or all the whatever. And then, you know, you're familiar with some of our extensions that will group the call stacks, right, by like stacks.
Well, the only ones that are external is unique stacks.
Yeah, that's
but, the but there is that's yeah, there is internal ones which are very funky and cool. But
that's to which I refer.
Yes.
So so we're doing that as well, and it's not sorted that way right now. But you see here all these tabs here. If you remember up in the summary, it told me there was like 20 threads doing this, right?
Right.
So these are all grouped together this way too, and I can click through here, and if they were different data, it would change the data, but it's doing that same thing, which is really useful in the case when you don't really know what's going on. Sometimes it's just either what's the big stack, or what are most of the threads doing?
Yeah.
So grouping it together that way and taking a quick look is.
And so many applications these days have pools in them of 10, 20, 100 threads. Mm-hmm. That is a very good way of getting rid of some noise.
Or yeah, rule out stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got 50 of these. Ignore that.
They're just all waiting for work. They're all small. Mm-hmm. They may not be small. They may be 10, 20 frames, but
right.
They're all the same, and they're just waiting for work. So just ignore them.
Okay. All right. So onto a little bit of the architecture.
Yeah.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Let's.
Cool. Alrighty, back to our crash scenario. I will make a rule. Let me just clean up a little bit. Get rid of pretty much what I can.
Not everything.
That's surprising. Okay. Alright, so I'm gonna make a rule, and it'll be the crash rule again. And I can type in exceptions if I wanted to, if it's not running. Okay, next.
So behind the scenes, what did that make an IFEO setting? Did it?
Well, that's what we're going to look at.
Okay.
I'll show you where it puts all the files and everything.
Yep.
And I'll pick just an action here so we can kind of look in there. All right. So next finish. And here you go. So it generated two scripts for me. All right. Basically, there's a debugger script and there's a service script. The service is the piece that's responsible for monitoring for new processes, perf counters, time events. That it's, you know, it's kind of the master controller.
So it's an actual NT service?
It is.
And who's it running as?
It runs as system. Yep. So it's elevated and it can attach across process across window stations.
That's why you need to be elevated to start the collection program, so you have the rights to install the service?
Well, you need to be elevated if it weren't for the fact that you had to be elevated, it'd be an elevation of privilege.
Yep.
Right? If you're running as a low privileged account, but I can talk to this system service and configure it to do customizable stuff inside of a process, that's no good.
Yeah.
So that's the reason.
Okay.
And also the UI itself can do some attaching.
Also, the MSI installed the service.
That's right.
Oh, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you see these VB scripts.
Mm-hmm.
The general idea is the UI makes these scripts. The scripts tells the component how to behave. Okay. So I told it I care about exceptions.exe. So somewhere in this script, I'm going to see some code like this. Okay. So this code was dynamically generated by the UI, and the service is executing this script at runtime. So the script really drives the behavior of the service.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And long story short, the script tells the service to attach a debugger at the right time. And then there's another script that tells the debugger what to do. So if we looked in that other script, we'd see that I care about foo exceptions, or I want DOMs, or I want stacks, or et cetera.
Yep.
So,
The debugger is your code or the WinDBG or?
The debugger is, it's ours. It's a process called DBG host. When I run my exceptions, I should see a couple actually, because the UI is using one that for 32-bit. But this is the guy that was launched for me and attaches.
Yep.
And it's going to be the right bitness to match the target.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Only because of CLR, you know,
yep.
the complexity there.
Very cool.
Yeah. So.
So quite a few executables in play here.
That's right. So you know there's a no free lunch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's a bigger footprint. But it opens the door to a lot of scenarios that I'd say you couldn't do or you couldn't do easily for sure. Like you threw out image file execution options, right?
Yep.
So with ProcDump, you could also add on image file execution options. You could maybe also add on PSExec. You could kind of bolt some things together to solve.
Yep.
But you know, a real common scenario for us, for example, let's say there's a shared service, SVC host. And it crashes every couple weeks. And I only care, I don't want to attach to every SVC host on the box, I only want the one with my service name in it.
Yeah, the
right?
MSK block.
Yeah. And I want it to persist reboots, and you know, and I want to be able to configure it. It's not impossible to do that with other tools, but it really simplifies and streamlines the process.
Very cool. Great for that kind of scenario.
Yeah. So,
so any real limits of how many things you have done, you're doing at once, like, you know, how many executables you're tracing at once, how many things you're looking for performance counters, how many things, any scale issues, or is this purely what the box can take from
there's no hard-coded limit, but, you know, if you wrote a script to attach to every process that launched,
mm-hmm.
you probably wouldn't enjoy that experience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, there's no limitations that I can think of in that regard.
Yep. And overhead? It's standard debugging type overhead.
I'll show you. That's a fair question, especially with what we're talking about, like aggregating those exceptions, right? Mm. That's a sensitive thing. If there's 5,000 exceptions in a second,
yeah.
right? No debugger is going to perform well.
Yeah.
WinDBG, CDB,
doesn't matter.
Right? You do SXI on it. It's still too many notifications. So there is some performance. There's performance to consider. Let me show you what that looks like. I'm glad you asked that question. Let's see. Hopefully it's, because I deleted all these things, but down here at the bottom, I think this one's still running. Let me get one that's closed. It's a service script. Wait for it. All right. So here is a summary of the overhead. And in this case, it's telling you it was 11 seconds, 11%. It's really skewed in this case because it was such a short, a short window, and it was making a full dump file, right? In the case of with just logging the exceptions, it's usually around 5. But it all depends on what's in your rule, man. If you tell it you want to log call stacks every time, wait for a single object is hit, then obviously that's going to...
It's going to run hot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a data versus collection issue, standard story.
Mm-hmm. You have to know what you're looking for and collect the right data.
I think with all tools that come into the troubleshooting space, you got to go with the reason, right? There's no point just going open slather on getting all data. It's not, it doesn't achieve the goal. You have too much data to process. Mm-hmm. And you don't really get to the root cause.
Yeah. So I really tried to strike a balance. This is a new feature here, these aggregated exceptions and showing you the overhead cost. You can change these things in the options. There's this advanced crash hole preferences. You can change thresholds in here. Mm-hmm. And you'll see I've got some defaults in here that I think have made sense through testing. At some point, if there's too many exceptions, we stop tracking things, right? So it should kind of back itself off. But you can always come in here and change the knobs or turn off logging or have that control if it turns out that performance happens to be an issue.
Cool.
Very cool. All right. So that's our show for this week. And as always, if you have questions or comments, put them in the show notes below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we'll be back next week with a little bit more of Debug Diag. Thanks for watching.
Have a good week.
Yeah, thanks for having me.